tape recorded message number TL424. Take your Bibles and open to the book of Psalms, Psalm 105, and our study today begins with verse 38. I did not have time to finish the chapter in the last study, so we'll take up where we left off and begin the Bible reading there. In the 38th verse of Psalm 105, it says that Egypt was glad when they departed. Egypt was glad when they departed. You know, there is many and many a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who finds himself in that which is called a church. He often sees things that he just simply knows that they're contrary to the Word of God. And without being obstreperous or mean or anything, he would suggest that these are out of harmony with the things of God's Word. And of course, they want to keep him there because they don't want to lose members, especially good members. And maybe this one is supporting. They don't want to lose his support. But something else comes up. He may suggest that some solo that was sung was just simply contrary to the Word of God altogether. He may suggest that some program that was put on was just simply out of the will of God. He may suggest that some act that the church has taken just is tending toward an imitation of Catholicism. And finally, they get to a place where they just ask him to leave. Or if they don't ask him to leave, make it so uncomfortable for him that he has to leave. I've known many, many people like that, and they've been, either the church has turned against them or else they've turned from the church, but thank God they knew enough to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn to him with all their hearts and to find their all and all in him, and to be able to say, "Whom have I in heaven but thee, and what on earth do I desire beside thee?" So I think of that when it reads here that Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. You know, as long as a man doesn't do certain things, just the fact that he doesn't do them, sometimes it will prick people's conscience. They come upon someone that doesn't do this or doesn't do that, and that bothers them. You know, one thing about iniquity, one thing about sin, it is always afraid to stand alone. And as long as one man doesn't do it, then that bothers them. It just pricks their conscience. There is no stronger testimony against evil that can be given sometimes than just not to do certain things. We don't need to make a big deal of it. They'll find it out. Very soon you'll find yourself separated from them. Then he spread a cloud for a covering. Yes, they were all identified with Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and a fire to give light in the night. That's when they came out of Egypt. Verse 40, the people asked, and he brought quails, and he satisfied them with the bread of heaven. That was the manna. He opened the rock. God opened it, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise, the promise that he'd made. He remembered Abraham, his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen, that would be his elect, with gladness, and gave them the lands of the nations, and they inherited the labor of the people. They did this, God did this, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Oh, that they had done it. Oh, that they had been faithful. God did this that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. And he finishes the psalm with, "Praise ye the Lord." But he takes it up in the next psalm, "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And indeed he is. He's not the monster that men would make him to be. His mercy endureth in perpetuity. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can even tell about them? Who can show forth all his praise? Who is worthy of this? Who is capable of doing this? Blessed are they that keep his judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. This becomes personal here. And he says, Lord, remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They saw, but they didn't understand them. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but they provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea, right on the banks of the Red Sea. They murmured. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. You see, not because they prayed, not because they exercised faith, but he saved them for them namesake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. And so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of them that hated them, the Egyptians, and redeemed them from the land of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. They then believed they his words, and they sang his praise. And you remember the song of Moses when they had crossed over the Red Sea. Yes, they believed his words and sang his praise, but tragic. They soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel. They just couldn't wait. They had to do something, had to be active. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and they tempted God in the desert. The desert is the wilderness. In the psalm, it just repeats it. So they lusted exceedingly, and in doing this, they tempted God, put him to the test in the desert. And he gave them their request. They got what they wanted, but he sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. This is all history we get in the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy and so on. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. This was an actual thing where a fire was kindled right in their company, and the flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb. That was the golden calf. And they worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. God was their glory, but they changed him into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. So Moses stood between Israel and God and pleaded with him and said, it will be to the disgrace of your name if you do this. The heathen will say you brought these people out of Egypt just to destroy them in the land, and Moses stood in the breach. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but they murmured in their tents, and hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. These things were just things that men had invented. And if you would take everything that goes under the name of religion today, every bit of it is just something that man has invented. Oh, he may have got it from the Egyptians. He may have got it from the divine religion that God gave to Israel, which was never intended for him. But today, all religion is just simply man's inventions, every bit of it. And by religion, I mean this. If you do something that you say, now, This is well-pleasing to God. This is what God requires, and this honors Him. You know, it might be the way you cut your hair, or the way you wear your beard, or the hat that you put on, or the garment that you put on, or the way you cross yourself, or what you eat on certain days and don't eat on other days, and so on. All of these thousand and one things people believe are pleasing to God. Some of these things become utterly ridiculous. There's a lot of people who shoot firecrackers, and they take drugs. There are groups that will take drugs, and they will say that to get on this high, as they call it, is something that's well-pleasing to God and honoring to God. There are people who will roll on the floor, people who will jabber like a bunch of monkeys, say, all this is well-pleasing to God. That's just man's religion. I don't care if you can find the word in the Bible. Just all a part of man's religion, and we don't have any of that today. We're supposed to find our utter and total completeness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their inventions. So the plague break in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness and all generations forevermore. Notice, that was counted unto him for righteousness. God put it to his account for righteousness and all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. He was provoked, and so he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples. It isn't nations, it is peoples here, concerning whom the Lord commanded them. There were certain peoples that the Lord just wanted wiped out as far as Palestine was concerned. It's not mine to question it. It's not mine to reason concerning it. I say that's what God wanted. And they didn't do it. They did not destroy these peoples concerning whom the Lord commanded them. But they mingled among the nations. And they learned their works. It is nations here. And they learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they convinced their sons and their daughters. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. They did this. And they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Yes, there have always been groups who have felt that the act of sacrificing someone was something that was the will of God and the honoring of God. You know, you've read about these things. You've heard about them. I don't need to go into detail. So we read, thus were they defiled with their own works, and they went a-whoring with their own inventions. Just get that. They went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the nation. And they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them. And they were brought in subjection unto their own land, the Babylonian captivity. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered them. He remembered them for his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. And then the psalmist says, save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the nations to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. And God will do that. The book of Ezekiel, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Isaiah promises this, that God will gather them among the nations. And when he gathers them, it will be for the purpose of giving thanks unto his holy name and to triumph in his praise. He finishes it with the words, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, perpetually, yea, perpetually, and let the people say amen. And finishes it with praise ye the Lord. This brings us to book 5 of the Psalms, and we continue in the 107th Psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Good advice for all of us. Nothing dispensational about this. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, easy to get along with. His mercy endureth forever, in perpetuity. It's ever flowing. It just doesn't stop. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes, you and I, let us say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, one of my criticisms of many Christian people is that they have just never learned what to say. They want to give a testimony. So they start out with something with, what church do you go to? That's no way to start. Why get a church in the picture from the very start? You want to give a testimony to the Lord, and the first thing you do is bring a church in. Don't do that. Don't start that way. Others say, have you ever been baptized? Don't bring the question of baptism in. That has nothing to do with what you're talking about. If you're redeemed of the Lord, say so. Now, I don't go about seeking people. I just watch for the opportunity, and these opportunities often are everywhere. But when I get the opportunity, then I say so. I let them know just who I am and what I am in the sight of God. I became acquainted with a lawyer and his wife while I was on vacation. They've been at the same place that we have been for 3 or 4 years. And for a few years, no opportunity seemed to arise for me to really say what I wanted to say, although they knew my position and they knew what I did. But finally the time came when he put a question to me, and now was the time to tell him. And I said, well, so that you'll understand, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I need a Savior. Because I'm sick, I might need a doctor. If I got something wrong with my teeth, I need a dentist. And if something goes wrong with the plumbing, I need a plumber. But I need a Savior. Just like I want a good doctor, a good plumber, a good dentist, I want a good Savior. I don't want a Savior with a lot of trappings that men have hung upon him. I want a Savior, just a solid, good Savior. And I found that Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, this has nothing to do with any church, has nothing to do with any ritual, has nothing to do with any ceremony, just has to do with myself and my God. Has to do with myself and my Savior. I have gone to God and I have received Christ as my Savior. It was a transaction between myself and God. No third party entered into it. No third party was there, but it's a settled matter. And so I told him. Then it wasn't very long until I was dealing with a girl who is a devout Roman Catholic, a very nice person, a lovely person, Filipino by birth. And so we became acquainted with her, and in due time, while she was telling of problems that she was having of trying to help her sister, who was facing difficulties in her marriage, and she was very much distressed about it. And I said, well, let me give you a passage of Scripture that you could send to her. And I opened up a passage in the book of Lamentations. And this girl became so interested in this that she said that the next day she wrote this out and sent it to her sister, but she wrote a copy for herself out of her own Bible. She wrote a copy for herself and that she is memorizing it. And then when she told me this, I said, well, I've never taken the opportunity to tell you before, but I said, I have given all of the greater part of my life, almost 60 years of it, to the study of the Word, the translation of the Word. And I could show you 100 things in the Bible that are more precious even than that, because they're more personal than that. And so then I started on those passages, such as, what is the work of God? What would you do if you wanted to work the work of God? You'd have a 1,001 men telling you to do 1,001 things, and certainly she did as a devout Catholic have someone telling her this. I said, but what would you do if you just wanted to work the works of God? And I showed her how it said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. And she spoke about her husband who had been turned off from the church. He'd turned away from it. He's a very good man, but he'd turned away from it. And I said, well, right at that time, you should have turned him toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So, that's the way I like to work. I don't like to go about flaunting my faith or my relationship to Christ, but let me tell you, as the redeemed of the Lord, I want to be able to say so, but keep it simple. Simple as this. I am a personal and an individual believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll come right back and say, what church? But you keep the church out of it. The church is out of it, you see. And don't let them bring up the question. You can say, there is no church that has anything to do with this. I am a personal and an individual believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner, and he's my Savior, and my trust is in him. My trust is in him so completely that if I should die while I'm talking to you, everything would be all right with me. He would raise me from the dead to give me my place in his kingdom when he establishes it. I've said such things to many people. And when you get right down to brass tacks and they find out, right, you're really saying something, they won't want to listen. They'll want to change the subject, and you can't force anything upon them, but you've given them the clue, and just let it there, and you pray for it. Maybe God might use it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The ones whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, this anticipates the kingdom of God, of course, and it anticipates Israel's redemption. For it says he's gathered them out of the lands from the east and the west and the north and the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Yes, they did. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord, that's Jehovah, in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works of the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul. He does this, and I find these people today who say, my life is so empty, it has no direction. God satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought them down their heart with labor. They fell down, there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of the men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. You see, they cry to the Lord in their trouble. Many of them don't. What many of them do is go to some church, get themselves baptized, join the men's bowling team. They don't cry to the Lord. They're not looking to him. But these cried the Lord, and he saveth them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, it all has to do with Israel. But nevertheless, it's setting the pattern that God works on. He can work on it for the individual as well as for a nation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let them declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, and let me tell you, for the man that went down to the sea in ships in that day, it certainly was nothing whatsoever like the men who go to sea today. But they see the works of the Lord, and they see his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They do go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They're at their wits' ends. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves are still. And we can apply this to life's experiences, just as we can actually apply it to the experience of men on board ship. And they are glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his mighty works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people. This congregation of the people would be the hall of the people when they gathered, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness. He turneth the water springs into dry ground. He could do it. He doesn't always do it, but he's done it, and he can do it. He can turn a fruitful land into barrenness. Why? Because the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and then the dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished, that is, diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high, and affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. Now the righteous shall see this. They'll see it. It's going to happen. And the righteous are going to see it. In one place in the book it says, and who shall live when he does these things? Well, I shall live. I shall live because God wrote a book, that men might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life through his name. I have righteousness imputed to me because of the work of Christ. I have no righteousness of my own, but I claim his righteousness. And the righteous are going to see this very thing and rejoice. And notice this, all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Iniquity here is personalized. When we realize how much iniquity flows from the lips of men, I don't mean in their cursing and swearing, but oftentimes even in the messages that they bring, wherein they claim that they are doing the work of God and preaching the word of God. But the time will come, let me tell you, when God assumes sovereignty, that all iniquity will stop her mouth. Speak one word of iniquity and you'll deal with God. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living, the active God. All iniquity shall stop her mouth. And it's got to stop. It has to cease. Whether it's written with the pen or put on film, are put down on tape, or what it is, all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, well, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord that made this possible. The psalm continues. This psalm of David. O God, my heart is fixed. I like that. And we should keep this in mind, for this has to do with commitment. You see, this has to do with a man taking his stand and submitting to the word of God. The heart is fixed. I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am believing. I will believe no matter what comes, no matter what takes place. People often put such crazy questions as, what if they should find life on other planets? What would that do to your faith? Not one thing. Not one thing to my faith. I would just go on believing. Christ died for my sins, that I have believed on him, that he is my Savior. Now, this has to do with the submission that John the Baptist called for, that's brought to us in the King James Version under the word repentance. Submission. And submission has to be in advance. in advance, the fixed heart. The fixed heart, fixed in advance. Not waiting to see what this will do for you. Not waiting to see what good this will bring to you. No. I know many people who put their trust in Christ because, I'm afraid some people are doing it to get out of prison. And they make a great show of putting their trust in Christ, that they can get themselves reestablished with the right people and so on. I'm not going to judge them. I know that they're doing it, and you have to be very careful. You know, we who work by means of radio and the printed page, we just receive a host of letters from those in prison who would like to tell us that they have found Jesus Christ through the message that they heard or the leaflet that they've read. Now, this happens. It can happen. And there are some of whom I believe that this is true. But there's others that I have noticed that when I do not answer immediately and offer to do something for them, that's just the end of it. Of course, we send our literature to anyone, no matter who it is. But we'll not do something for them. And I've even had them get permission to call me long distance. And when I told them that there was nothing that I could do, that was just the end of it. So I don't think their hearts were just fixed on Jesus Christ, but they would get the sympathy of a man whose very faith requires him to be sympathetic, whose very profession of faith requires that he show mercy and sympathy, and they would like to get the faith of these people. I remember a case in the city of Grand Rapids where a man went on radio, and next thing you know, he was a preacher. He got a letter from a man in the city jail there, and this man said how that he'd heard this message and he'd found Christ, and he wrote to his mother and she'd sent him a Bible. So he wasn't in jail very long. In a couple of weeks he was out, and he came out to this church, and they had him to give a testimony. It was quite a testimony. And then when the meeting was over, he said, well, where's the offering? He said, when you give a message in the church, you usually get an offering, don't you? And he said, well, we think that people should just be glad to have the opportunity of giving their testimony and not expect an offering for it. And boy, he called them all kind of names. He told them what a cheap bunch they were and so on. So we have to watch these things. We have to be careful. Indeed. But what about this being the heart fixed? I'm submitted to the Word of God. My heart is fixed. Whatever that Word says, it's going to be it. I don't care if this causes me even today to lose the last friend I've got. Whatever I find in that Word, I've got to test it, I've got to prove it, and I've got to preach it. I've got to do it. My heart is fixed. All I care about is it the truth? If it is the truth, then it's for me. I don't care if people say it's heresy. I don't care if people say that no one else believes it. I don't care if people ask me foolish questions. Well, if this were true, don't you think that this great man would see it and that great man would see it? I don't know what they see. I don't know what they see. And when I hear sometimes I wonder what they do see. That doesn't mean anything. My heart is fixed. Yes, I can't sing much. But there is a song in my heart, and I'll sing and give praise, even with my glory. David, though, who could play the harp, but apparently play it with a God-given gift, he says, awake, go into action, start the music, psalter and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praise unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem, and I will measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of my head, Judah is my lawgiver, Moab is my washpot, over Edom will I cast my shoe, over Philistia will I triumph, Cast your shoe means have it under your foot. 10. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who hast cast us off? And wilt thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God shall we do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Another psalm anticipating the redemption of Israel and the kingdom of God. Psalm 109. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongue. David is speaking of something out of his experience. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let the children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them speak their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to show favor to his fatherless children. Let his posterity, that is, his result, be cut off, and in the generation following let their names be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord. Let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken heart. And he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. And he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. And he clothed himself with cursing like as with a garment. So let it come into his bowels, his innermost part like water, and like oil into his bones. And let it be unto him as a garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and from them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for my name's sake, because thy mercy and thy good deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, my heart is wounded within me, I am gone like the shadow when it declineth, that's the sundial, I am tossed up and down as the locusts, my knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them, when they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God, and save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame. Let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor, to save him from those who condemn his soul. Now, I have done nothing more than just read this 109th Psalm with comments. What is this all about? Why didn't this man show some forgiveness? Why didn't he, who had enjoyed mercy and pity and forgiveness, why didn't he show this to his enemies? I haven't time to get into that in this study. But the Lord willing, in the next study, I'm going to see if I can show you even justify the word of David here, where he rehearses to God how his enemies have cursed him, and how he refers to his cause, how he refers his cause and leaves it in the hands of Jehovah. My time is up, May the Lord bless the word to your hearts and minds. It's been my joy to give it. Till we meet again around the word of God, I bid you goodbye.